Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
I'm Steve Azar, and I'm on the other side of the microphone, meaning I'm asking the questions this time, and oh, have mercy for the airwaves. I spent 20 years in Music City, wrote and made some hits, traveled the world, and then moved my family back to the birthplace of American music and where the magnolia trees prosper. And now every time I put my feet on Mississippi soil, when I'm off the road, well, I'm at peace. On this show, it's all about hearing the stories straight from the mouths of the friends I've made along the way, their journey to success. Heck, there might be someone on, I don't even know, but you know how us Mississippi types are. We tend to take well to new company. In a Mississippi Minute, all 60 of them. I'm Steve Azar.
It's just like that muddy river, moving slow. Ain't no worries, it's how life goes, baby. In a Mississippi Minute. That's right.
Hey folks, time for another In a Mississippi Minute. I am Steve Azar. Thank you for tuning in, as always. And as always, Superior Catfish, homegrown there in Macon, Mississippi. Come on. There's catfish and there's Superior Catfish. Even though today's guest is a hottie toddy, Hell State is right by where this catfish is made. We're going to get to that in a second. Also, so many cool, cool things to do. Go to visitmississippi.org. Today's guest is a Mississippi product, and he understands the value of his creative mind and what happens when it clashes with the economy. A beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. All right. He grew up in a few cool spots in our Mississippi, sounds like, from what I've gathered. We're going to get to the where, when, and how, because you know I dig this. Bottom line, today's guest is another shining example, typical, of Mississippi's rich music history, how it just keeps coming and coming and coming and going and going and going, which is a constant reminder of why we, to the world, are known as America's music birthplace. Us singer-songwriters, and I do not like to use comparisons, so forgive me, but word is his floating mellow croon combined with his soul rock arrangements. You know, it's been mentioned in the same breaths as Jason Mraz, Josh Rouse, and vice versa, by the way, and described as a tougher-edged version of Jeff Buckley. Now, I dig that. You can take the man out of Mississippi, but I'm sure, just like me, he understands that Mississippi has this incredible hold and bond, especially inspiration-wise, that certainly makes the Mississippi never leave the man. So let's get to it right now. But before, a big shout-out to our pal Matt Warren. Who would think that it would take a Tennessee volunteer to introduce me? What does make sense is he will be here at our Mockingbird Music Series, which is the music component for the new Wildlife Heritage Festival in Leland, Mississippi, home of Jim Henson and the Muppets, May 3rd and 4th. So come on down. It's a big crawfish festival as well. It's going to be awesome. Get to meet him and a lot of our other wildly talented hit singer-songwriter pals. So let's get to it right now with the one-of-a-kind Charlie Mars. Hello, Charlie.
Steve Azar. Nice to be here with you on a fine, cool Mississippi spring day.
Now, are you in Mississippi or are you in Nashville?
I am in the hill country of Yallabusha County outside of Water Valley, which is where I live.
I love it. So you're up there in hill country over by maybe Terry Harmonica Bean, some of the North Mississippi All-Star Boys, Cedric Burnside. Are you up in that area? Everybody up there with you?
Well, they're a little further north. I'm just north of Grenada, between okay. Enid and Grenada Lake.
So have you ever left Mississippi in your musical journey, or have you maintained a home resident here?
Well, I went to college in Texas, so I wasn't living here then. And then majority of my adult life, I always had a home in Mississippi.
So word was you spent a lot of time playing in Oxford back in the day, right?
Yeah. Oxford was one of my, in the late 90s when I put out my first record, I was a student in college. And then after college, most of my touring was southeastern college towns.
Sure.
And Oxford was one of my favorite places to come.
Yeah, you've got a lot of fans and friends you've made over that period of. I was talking to a couple guys this morning and they were going like, I'm going to interview Charlie Mars, man. We wore ourselves out with him back at when they were at Ole Miss, which brought me up to the hottie toddy days. You know, I spent a lot of my time growing up playing more in Starkville and also University of Arkansas, LSU. It was a little bit more of my personal fit, but I did do the gin back in the day. And the, I mean, I played the gin quite a few times back in the days, but for some reason we were a little bit more geared toward that way. Or, you know, you have a lot of friends that you grew up with and they bring you in to play when you're a college kid, you know? So it's like, you know, they're in fraternities there and all of a sudden you're on their campus. It just sort of worked out that way. For you, how did it work out where with college and stuff? And I want to back up and talk about your wonder years, but for you, college wise, where'd you go to school in Texas?
Southern Methodist University.
So you went to SMU. Are you rolling with the band before you go to Southern Methodist, or do you put this band together in your college years?
I was in a band in high school, and then when I got to college, I was in a fraternity with a guy named Jack Ingram.
Oh, sure. I know Jack really well.
And Jack was had made a record called I think it was called Beat Up Ford. And at the time, I didn't really know much about studios or really anything, but he had this batch of songs and he went and made a record and he started doing it on a grassroots level. And I had a batch of songs and I thought, you know, maybe I'll give this a go. And I hired the same producer and went to the same studio that he did. And I used a group of guys that I was in college with. And at the time we were just kind of playing on a regular weeknight in Dallas at a bar. And then the record that I made kind of took off at my college and then at a lot of schools in the Southeast. And so on the weekends, my senior year, we'd load up in a Suburban and we'd drive to Baton Rouge or Auburn or Tuscaloosa or Starkville or Ruston or Oxford or Jackson at Howlin' Mouths. And so on on the weekends, I would tour, and then Sunday night, I would get back and be ready for school that week. And then by the end of that, things were going pretty darn good. And I thought, you know, everybody's like, what are you going to do after college? And I thought, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, almost 30 years ago.
It's crazy. And Jack and I did quite a few shows together. Great guy. I really got along with Jack. Pat Green was a little bit more of my time and my, you know, a little bit just, I think we may have been a few years older than you guys. Well, I know we are, but Pat and I ended up on stage at a few places and became buddies. Walt Wilkins. Remember Walt made a record on my label actually. And we published Walt. Are you familiar with Walt?
I know the name.
Well, in one of Pat's big songs, he goes, Walt Wilkins lives in Nashville. You know, in Carry On. And but Walt is, he's like biblical. I mean, he's a great Texas singer-songwriter. Another one of those guys. And I spent a lot of time with Radney Foster writing and all those guys. But so for growing up in Mississippi and then going to school in Texas, obviously, you know, we have a lot of friends of ours that don't have to leave the state lines of Texas. And once Mississippi's claimed being America's birthplace and they started putting a lot of programs in place and a lot of clubs, recognizing a lot of clubs and venues and all that, it's really helped us as artists. I could have never moved back to Mississippi if it wasn't rolling like the party got started for us. You and I left here, you know, to go to college and we went off and toured and all that. I went to Nashville for 20 years. I lived there. For you, your influence in Mississippi and then watching everything like you were seeing in Texas, how did that sort of create a roadmap for you, do you think, for the future?
Well, I didn't know anything about Texas singer-songwriters when I went to college there. And so I got turned on to a lot of people who were doing the style of music that I had. I feel like there was a genre of music in the early 90s, which was called alt country, which is sort of segued into other things now. But there were bands like Uncle Tupelo and there were which went on to be Sunvolt and Wilco. And there were some singer songwriters in that genre. And then, you know, kind of that there was a sort of a marriage between that stuff and classic singer songwriters like Neil Young or, you know, a band like The Band. And so that style of singer-songwriter meets like a roots element that's got a lot of country influences, but isn't necessarily like the kind of country that maybe some of my friends were listening to that was more of a Nashville country.
Sure, sure.
And then when I got to Texas and I learned about Jerry Jeff Walker and Guy Clark and Robert Earl Keane and that and Townes Van Zandt, you know, there were some similarities between those singer-songwriters and the music that I mentioned before, which was just a roots in a country and an acoustic and a songwriter-based element that when you kind of put it all together, I would say that was the foundation of what I would go on to do for the rest of my life. And then I think the independent nature of some of the artists that were coming out of Texas at that time and how I saw that you could do it on your own and you could find a fan base and you could get on the road, especially back then, and develop an audience. That was a big influence on me just to some of what the way the Texas guys were doing it, whether it was Pat Green or Jack Ingram, mm-hmm. kind of followed that model. And it's great.
With Charlie Mars, folks, we're going to be right back. Before we go, think about some Superior Catfish, homegrown here in Mississippi, just like Charlie is. There's catfish, there's Superior Catfish. Why would you get it from anywhere else? And speaking of anywhere else, if you want to check out some cool road trip places and celebrate what folks like Charlie does, go to visitmississippi.org and plan your road trip. I'm Steve Azar. We'll be right back. Mississippi.
If you're feeling anxious,
Azar, right here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Steve Azar rolling into a Mississippi Minute with another Mississippi man and Charlie Mars. I really appreciate him taking the time. Fantastic. Really unique. Once again, how Mississippi seeps into the man and the soul and the heart, and this really honest artist comes out. And Charlie Mars is exactly that. We don't have another Charlie Mars in Mississippi. I can promise you that. He's his own guy. Really appreciate him taking the time. Speaking of taking time, if you're going to have catfish on your plate, you know what you're doing. You're going to superiorcatfish.com. Great folks up in Macon, Mississippi. And visit mississippi.org. Has a big old smile on his face. I say that a lot. It's becoming a cliche. I think I'm going to make that up. I just made it up, but you know what I'm saying. I do say it a lot. I'm like a broken record, but check it out. And what's not a broken record is today's guest, Charlie Mars. Charlie, your first record versus what you're doing right now, and where does and when does and has it ever become a co-writing thing? So let me back up. For me, co-writing didn't exist. I was by myself. Then I went to Nashville. I had some great mentors along the way, really great. Some of them tried to make me them, and I just floundered around until I realized that I got to take what they do and I got to find me. And it just took a while for me to really go, oh, there it is. And just doing it. And then I came back home and I've had nobody to write with. So my last three records have been alone. And I've really enjoyed that process of being alone. But for you, you're alone in the beginning, I would imagine, right? There's nobody co-writing with you in college. And then you go off. And has the co-writing thing ever been something that you look forward to? And where are you in your career now? A lot of questions, I know. I confused you.
I wrote all my own songs for the first many, many, many years of my music life. And then I had a friend who went to Nashville, and he had been a singer, songwriter, artist. And he wrote a couple of hits, and all of a sudden he had all this cash. And I was kind of burnt out on just doing, 100 plus shows a year. And I thought, well, in between tours, I'll just start sleeping on people's couches and writing in Nashville and starting out, just with some people that I knew already. And so there was 4 or 5 years where I pretty much just slept on my buddy's couch in between my own touring. And I lived in Mississippi. I never moved to Nashville, but I was basically living there.
Yeah.
And I wrote a lot of songs with a lot of people. And at first I was hesitant about it because I always had a chip on my shoulder that I had something to prove. But then once I'd had some success as an artist, I wanted to make money. I was just in Nashville, but I really loved that process. I loved co-writing. I never knew that I would like it as much as I did. I always look forward to it. It's a lot of work. There's some aspects to it that are kind of a grind, and, you know, there's expectations of the type of subject matter. And a lot of the really great songs in Nashville don't get cut. And then some of the really ones that don't make a lot of sense to me do get cut.
Yeah. It can get frustrating at times. So watch, we you and I both know that we've heard a lot of our friends' songs. Just forget about our stuff. A lot of friends who have written, and you're going like, so who cut that? Nobody yet. I said, oh my gosh. I mean, you sit there next to it, right? And you're going like, no way. I mean, like, so yeah, a lot of the best songs struggle, but I believe they'll find the light eventually, because you can't keep a great song down forever. You and me may be both dead and gone when our best stuff gets recorded by other artists. But anyway, keep going. You just got me thinking a little bit.
Well, I always felt like it. I made a lot of friends through co-writing songs. I had a lot of good memories. When you write a good song with somebody, you kind of have a mutual respect that you may not have had before. And I really like it. That being said, I always liked living in Mississippi. I liked having my artist career. One of the things that I did is if a song didn't get cut, I would just cut it on my own record after that. And yeah. So that's fun, because my most streamed song is a co-write I did in Nashville that nobody cut, that I thought, well, I think this is good. I'm going to cut it. And it's been a great song for me. I don't necessarily.
Which song is that?
It's called She Ain't Coming Back. And I don't really want, like, getting up every day and going and sitting in a room and writing with somebody, you know, 5 days a week or 6 days a week. It gets a little, no matter how good it's going, it's a little bit like an office job. And so I definitely got to a point where I was like, you know what, I'm just going to do my artist thing, and I'll do co-writes when I feel like it or if the situation presents itself. But I really enjoy the independence of just being an artist.
Yeah. So you and I'm agree with you on that. I loved writing songs, but I love writing songs as much as I love to perform them, as much as I love to record them. And it was all about the cherry on top, and that's getting them to the people and playing and sweating and having your band and getting tight. That was, to me, the part when I went to Nashville, I was really missing, because it's like you just get put on the sidelines and you're just, you know, you're on deck and you never get a bat. And what we were used to doing was playing, right? But I had one publisher, Mark Allen Springer, who just said, I took his place at Roger Murrah's, and Roger Murrah was songwriter of the decade. When Waylon Jennings made his autobiography record, he went to Roger's and they wrote every song together. Right. And so Roger was the guy that went in the office every day, and he loved it. And so was a lot of other writers that were in there. Well, I would go in there and I just couldn't do it every day. And I'd sink into the couch. Like, Mark Allen was there before me, and he had left. And he goes, listen, you and I are a lot alike. Where you like to go play music on the road, I like to go play with, dig ditches and play with my sawmill and, you know, build ponds on my land. And he goes, you cannot do it every day. So eventually we decided to open a publishing company. And that's when I started having the bigger hits and stuff. And he would go, do not write every day. Come out on the farm. Let's play basketball. Let's do this and let's do that. You got to get away from it. And getting away from it after writing every day, that sort of saved me. And it gave me some freedom not to feel it, the stress of going in every day. I couldn't do the Captain Crunch every year. What's your cereal of choice? Okay, now go in the room and write. You know, it drove me crazy. I wasn't productive at all.
Yeah, I mean, anything that you're doing too much is going to wear out. So I still like it, and I like to do it in spurts, you know, but I don't want to live it every day. And most writers, you know, they have a time when they're really shining, and then they usually get put on the back burner and some new person comes along, and that's kind of depressing. It's not It's not, I mean, I just didn't want to live. And also you become subject to some people above you and what they think and whether they decide something about your fate. And I, you know, like I'm from Mississippi. I don't want any, I don't want somebody with a suit and tie on telling me anything.
Yeah.
About anything.
Well, you also that a lot of that takes up a lot of your time and a lot, it turns into months and it turns into years waiting on that. So I'm with you, man. There is no doubt you bring up a good point, and we'll just talk about it after the break about songs that you end up recording that really make a difference instead of worrying about somebody else recording them. It's something that Radney Foster told me when I moved on from the major label to my own. We're with Charlie Mars, folks. Check his music out if you haven't. If you're from Mississippi, you know Charlie Mars is. If you're from America, you know Charlie Mars is. And if you're beyond us, if you're out over across the pond, you know who Charlie Mars is. And you know what Superior Catfish is. Go to superiorcatfish.com. That's my job to drill it in you. And I appreciate those guys very much. And visit Mississippi.org. So many wonderful things. Like, again, another great Mississippi artist in Charlie Mars. We're going to be right back. I'll see you later.
$20,000 available for first-time homebuyers. Hey folks, Steve Azar here. Helping is the heart of our friends at Guaranty Bank. They offer programs like the Homebuyer Equity Leverage Partnership Grant that can assist qualified first-time homebuyers with up to $20,000 towards down payment and provide home ownership counseling to empower you on your journey. These funds are first come, first serve. Learn more about this program and to apply now, go to gbtonline.com. Guaranty Bank, member FDIC.
Hit a grand slam this afternoon. Listen to Sports Talk Mississippi, the hottest sports show in the state. The action kicks off this afternoon at 3 on Super Talk Mississippi, the Super Talk app, and at supertalk.fm. You're listening to Super Talk Mississippi, where the news comes first, with live updates from Super Talk Mississippi News and Fox News every hour. Available on the Super Talk app and at supertalk.fm. In a Mississippi Minute with Steve Azar, right here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Steve Azar rolling into a Mississippi Minute with another Mississippi man and Charlie Mars. I really appreciate him taking the time. Fantastic. Really unique. Once again, how Mississippi seeps into the man and the soul and the heart. And this really honest artist comes out. And Charlie Mars is exactly that. We don't have another Charlie Mars in Mississippi. I can promise you that. He's his own guy. Really appreciate him taking the time. Speaking of taking time, if you're going to have catfish on your plate, you know what you're doing. You're going to superiorcatfish.com. Great folks up in Macon, Mississippi. And visit Mississippi.org. Has a big old smile on his face. I say that a lot. It's becoming a cliche. I think I'm going to make that up. I just made it up, but you know what I'm saying. I do say it a lot. I'm like a broken record, but check it out. And what's not a broken record is today's guest, Charlie Mars. Charlie, your first record versus what you're doing right now, and where does... and when does and has it ever become a co-writing thing? So let me back up. For me, co-writing didn't exist. I was by myself. Then I went to Nashville. I had some great mentors along the way, really great. Some of them tried to make me them, and I just floundered around until I realized that I got to take what they do and I got to find me. And it just took a while for me to really go, oh, there it is. And just doing it. And then I came back home and I've had nobody to write with. So my last three records have been alone. And I've really enjoyed that process of being alone. But for you,
you're alone in the beginning, I would imagine, right? There's nobody co-writing with you in college, and then you go off. And has the co-writing thing ever been something that you look forward to? And where are you in your career now? A lot of questions, I know. I confused you.
I wrote all my own songs for the first many, many, many years of my music life. And then I had a friend who went to Nashville, and he had been a singer, songwriter, artist, and he wrote a couple of hits, and all of a sudden he had all this cash, and I was kind of burnt out on just doing, you know, 100 plus shows a year. And I thought, well, I'll, you know, in between tours, I'll just start sleeping on people's couches and writing in Nashville and starting out, you know, just with some people that I knew already. And so there was like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years where I pretty much just slept on my buddy's couch in between my own touring. And I lived in Mississippi. I never moved to Nashville, but I was basically living there.
Yeah.
And I wrote a lot of songs with a lot of people. And at first I was hesitant about it because I always had a chip on my shoulder that I had something to prove. But then once I'd had some success as an artist, I wanted to make money. Just in Nashville, but I really loved that process. I loved co-writing. I never knew that I would like it as much as I did. I always looked forward to it. It's a lot of work. There's some aspects to it that are kind of a grind, and you know, there's expectations of the type of subject matter, and a lot of the really great songs in Nashville don't get cut. And then some of the really ones that don't make a lot of sense to me do get cut.
Yeah, it can get frustrating at times. Watch, we you and I both know that we've heard a lot of our friends' songs. Just forget about our stuff. A lot of friends who have written, and you're going like, so who cut that? Nobody yet. I said, oh my gosh. I mean, you sit there next to it, right? And you're going like, no way. I mean, like, so yeah, a lot of the best songs struggle, but I believe they'll find the light eventually, because you can't keep a great song down forever. You and me may be both dead and gone when our best stuff gets recorded by other artists. But anyway, keep going. You just got me thinking a little bit.
Well, I always felt like I made a lot of friends through co-writing songs. I had a lot of good memories. When you write a good song with somebody, you kind of have a mutual respect that you may not have had before. And I really like it. That being said, I always liked living in Mississippi. I liked having my artist career. One of the things that I did is if a song didn't get cut, I would just cut it on my own record after that. And so that's fun, because my most streamed song is a co-write I did in Nashville that nobody cut, that I thought, well, I think this is good, I'm going to cut it. And it's been a great song for me. I don't necessarily.
Which song is that?
It's called She Ain't Coming Back. And I don't really want, like, getting up every day and going and sitting in a room and writing with somebody, you know, 5 days a week or 6 days a week. It gets a little, no matter how good it's going, it's a little bit like an office job. And so I definitely got to a point where I was like, you know what, I'm just going to do my artist thing, and I'll do co-writes when I feel like it or if the situation presents itself. But I really enjoy the independence of just being an artist.
Yeah. So you and I'm agree with you on that. I loved writing songs, but I love writing songs as much as I love to perform them, as much as I love to record them. And it was all about the cherry on top, and that's getting them to the people and playing and sweating and having your band and getting tight. That was, to me, the part when I went to Nashville I was really missing, because it's like you just get put on the sidelines and you're just, you know, you're on deck and you never get a bat. And what we were used to doing was playing, right? But I had one publisher, Mark Allen Springer, who just said, I took his place at Roger Murrah's, and Roger Murrah was songwriter of the decade. When Waylon Jennings made his autobiography record, he went to Roger's and they wrote every song together. Right. And so Roger was the guy that went in the office every day, and he loved it. And so was a lot of other writers that were in there. Well, I would go in there and I just couldn't do it every day. And I'd sink into the couch. Like Mark Allen was there before me and he'd left. And he goes, listen, you and I are a lot alike. Where you like to go play music on the road, I like to go play with, dig ditches and play with my sawmill and, you know, fill ponds on my land. And he goes, you cannot do it every day. So eventually we decided to open a publishing company. And that's when I started having the bigger hits and stuff. And he would go, do not write every day. Come out on the farm. Let's play basketball. Let's do this and let's do that. You got to get away from it. And getting away from it after writing every day, that sort of saved me. And it gave me some freedom not to feel it, the stress of going in every day. I couldn't do the Captain Crunch every year. What's your cereal of choice? Okay, now go in the room and write. You know, it drove me crazy. I wasn't productive at all.
Yeah, I mean, anything that you're doing too much is going to wear out. So I still like it, and I like to do it in spurts, you know, but I don't want to live it every day. And most writers, you know, they have a time when they're really shining, and then they usually get put on the back burner and some new person comes along, and that's kind of depressing. It's not, I mean, I just didn't want to live. And also you become subject to some people above you and what they think and whether they decide something about your fate. And I, you know, like I'm from Mississippi. I don't want somebody with a suit and tie on telling me anything.
Yeah.
About anything.
Well, you also a lot of that takes up a lot of your time, and a lot it turns into months and it turns into years waiting on that. So I'm with you, man. There is no doubt. You bring up a good point, and we'll just talk about it after the break about songs that you end up recording that really make a difference instead of worrying about somebody else recording them. It's something that Radney Foster told me when I moved on from the major label to my own. We're with Charlie Mars, folks. Check his music out if you haven't. If you're from Mississippi, you know Charlie Mars is. If you're from America, you know Charlie's Mars is. And if you're beyond us, if you're out over across the pond, you know who Charlie Mars is. And you know what Superior Catfish is. Go to superiorcatfish.com. That's my job, to drill it in you. And I appreciate those guys very much. And visit mississippi.org. So many wonderful things, like, again, another great Mississippi artist in Charlie Mars. We're going to be right back. I'm Steve Azar. For so long, I show I don't know.
$20,000 available for first-time home buyers. Hey folks, Steve Azar here. Helping is the heart of our friends at Guarantee Bank. They offer programs like the Home Buyer Equity Leverage Partnership Grant that can assist qualified first-time home buyers with up to $20,000 towards down payment and provide home ownership counseling to empower you on your journey. These funds are first come, first serve. Learn more about this program and to apply now, go to gbtonline.com. Guarantee Bank, member FDIC.
Hit a grand slam this afternoon. Listen to Sports Talk Mississippi, the hottest sports show in the state. The action kicks off this afternoon at 3 on Super Talk Mississippi, the Super Talk app, and at supertalk.fm. You're listening to Super Talk Mississippi, where the news comes first, with live updates from Super Talk Mississippi News and Fox News every hour. Available on the Super Talk app and at supertalk.fm.
Hey, this is Bob.
One wee bit of a segment left. It goes by fast. Enjoying talking to today's guest, Charlie Mars. Please stream his music. go download it, and you can pay for it in places. You should do that. It's awesome. Charlie would appreciate it. Right, Charlie?
I like that. Yeah.
I like it. We like it. We also like Superior Catfish, homegrown in Mississippi. Go to SuperiorCatfish.com. Great folks over there. Really good folks. And visit Mississippi.org. Never an afterthought. It's a place to plan your road trip. You can go with the loved one. You can find somebody to love, or you can go on your own. It's going to be a great experience. Check it out. Be proud of your Mississippi. I know today's guest is proud of his Mississippi. As he said, he's never left home. He did spend a lot of time in Music City. Charlie, when I moved back to Mississippi, I said, I just want to write about home. And that's what I've been doing. And it's been awesome. So I had in my mind, that's all I wanted to do. And I wanted to get to know my kids before they graduated, because I was gone 250 days a year on the bus and all that. And I said, I want to know them. So moving back home allowed me to just go. I'm flying to gigs. I'm going to play half the gigs. I'm going to go coach basketball. I'm going to do all these things and make sure my kids don't hate me later in life. So for you, what's the plan now at this point in your career? And what's interesting you, most interesting to you and inspiring you to write?
Well, I think I moved from living in Oxford to way out in the country in the last 2 years. And I live on 40 acres now, and I've got a big crazy dog, and I've got a lot of neighbors that, you know, they kind of remind, my grandparents are from Philadelphia, Mississippi, and there's something about the energy of people that live rurally, mm-hmm. and a lot of them know how to do a lot of things that I didn't know anything about, whether it's how to manage your land or how to put up a fence or the kind of fertilizer you need for this or that. And so I just really enjoyed getting closer to nature and being around people that live in the country, which I didn't really do most of my adult life. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of I'm just more of a, like, very naive about a lot of it. And so it's, they get a kick out of it, and it's fun. And fortunately, if you can play guitar, people are a little more patient with you.
Yeah.
I think that, and just, there's a lot of elements of Mississippi as far as the culture goes, that there's an importance on family and God and a level of it's kind of a rebelliousness that's also coupled with a level of humility that I really like. And I enjoy being around people who talk to each other and say hello and catch up with you. And I don't particularly like large urban cities anymore. I find them to be like kind of soul crushing.
Yeah.
And so I feel like Mississippi is not a heavily populated state. I have a lot of roots here. My grandparents, my great grandparents, my great great grandparents, and then back long before that, were all from here on both sides. And so it ties me to something in my heart that it keeps me from just kind of becoming a person who doesn't have anything that they're tied to. And as somebody who recognizes, like I said, I was sitting in front of a TV watching, you know, rock stars, and I wanted to do that. And I think that I also recognized in myself that there's something about that that's not good to fully dive into, because you can lose touch with what matters, chasing shiny objects. And so I wanted to make sure that I stayed grounded in something that I not only, not for blind reasons, but that were actually the truth. I wanted to stay in the truth. And so I stayed in Mississippi because there's elements to the culture that are rooted in God's truth.
Amen, man. And I can't wait to have you down here in Leland, Mississippi on May 3rd for the Wildlife Heritage Mockingbird Music Festival. It's going to be fun having you here. We're going to have crawfish. I know crawfish is a little bit of a shortage with the drought last year, but we're going to have some for you, and we're going to have a great time. And I know a lot of folks down here are really looking forward to you being here. So I appreciate you taking the time to be on my show and the time to come down to the land of Jim Henson and the Muppets.
I didn't know Jim Henson was from Leland, but I'm glad. See, I'm learning stuff too.
That's crazy, isn't it?
I love the Mississippi Delta.
Oh, well, that's awesome. Well, we can't wait to have you, and I appreciate you here, brother, and blessings, and we'll talk very soon.
Okay.
Charlie Mars, folks, check his music out, stream it. He's a Mississippi man. For you guys listening out of the confines of Mississippi territory, all over the country, different parts of the world, come on. Charlie Marsh, you got to check him out. You're going to become a big fan. As you can tell, he's grounded. He's got it figured out. Speaking of figuring it out, if you're going to have catfish, please go to superiorcatfish.com, homegrown right here in Mississippi, and visit mississippi.org. Need I say more? Today, that's what we're talking about. Great music helps our cool economy, and the rest is history. I'm Steve Azar.
I'm Steve Azar. In a Mississippi Minute, all 60 of them, where you can take your sweet time.
Hit a grand slam this afternoon. Listen to Sports Talk Mississippi, the hottest sports show in the state. The action kicks off this afternoon at 3 on Super Talk Mississippi, the Super Talk app, and at supertalk.fm. You're listening to Super Talk Mississippi, where the news comes first, with live updates from Super Talk Mississippi News and Fox News every hour. Available on the Super Talk app and at supertalk.fm. A Super Talk Mississippi media production.